Hello and welcome to our Salesforce United episode, a podcast about Salesforce and people who work with it. Here we discuss engineering discoveries, professional secrets, and careers of our guests. I am Volha Mulatilova, a Salesforce enthusiast and, to my delight, your host. Unfortunately, my colleague, our lovely Olga, is on sick leave at the moment. We wish her a very speedy recovery and send her lots of good vibes. But let me introduce our guest today, I'm especially happy because it's not only a very talented professional, but also a very, very lovely person, Lyubov Kapotevich, who can become a role model to all aspiring people who want to build a career in Salesforce. After more than 10 years of experience in software development, 4 years in people management, and 6 certifications, Lyubov is taking a role of head of Salesforce practice in Georgia and Turkey and willing to share her journey. Luba, welcome.
Hello, Olga. My pleasure to meet you and thank you for having me here. I hope we will have a great discussion today.
My pleasure to have you as well. So let's start with this very typical question, but I'm sure we need to begin with why. What led you to choose Salesforce as your primary focus in the IT industry? And what do you find most exciting about working with the Salesforce platform?
Yeah, thank you for that great question. So just imagine it was like 12 years ago when I was in the first course of the university, and actually I was writing my diploma in .NET, I mean in C#, and at the same time I was a student in Java Lab. I was kind of a person who didn't yet understand which technology I want to work with. And then Salesforce appeared and, you know, I started to learn about it. And, you know, it made me feel different from what I experienced with Java or .NET or any other technology. What I observed was that it actually gives you as a developer or administrator a huge amount of capabilities to solve customer requirements. However, it leads you to think more about how your changes will affect the whole system, you know, because of all these limitations and so on. However, working with Salesforce, you are also closer to the business. And you know, I really like that. Since that time, I actually had the opportunity to work with different technologies like SAP Hybris, MuleSoft, but you know, I still feel the same way. I see that Salesforce give me an opportunity to be closer to the business, and I really like it.
Great. And yes, you can compare it to other systems. I think that's especially valuable to see the difference, right? Dan, could you please tell our listeners how did you become head of Salesforce practice and what has changed with it with more responsibilities?
I would say it's kind of complex question. If we are talking about the first part, how I became the head of Salesforce practice, and let me make a step back. When I just came to Georgia, I was already a mature manager with pretty big unit. However, I had never considered myself as a manager. I am an architect by my title and by my calling. My main focus was actually on the technical aspects. But I should mention that I have a tricky trait. I'm not afraid of challenges. And when a manager approached me and offered to become a head of Salesforce practice in Georgia, I just accepted it as a new challenge. Why not? And, you know, for the second part of the question, what has changed with more responsibilities? It's tricky. Time management, negotiations, emotional intelligence, delegation, prioritization. I definitely improved all the skills significantly, because if you think that the role of the head of the practice is the only one thing that I am doing, it's not the case. I still have my lovely client and I continue to play the role of solution architect for them. And additionally, I'm actually involved in various internal activities. Many, many interesting things are happening all around. And, you know, I'm really excited to be part of them.
Then I cannot help but ask you, where do you get energy for all of that? Do you have some special ingredient you can share with us?
Yeah, just good rest. And for sure, traveling can give you a lot of energy. And living in Georgia also helps, because it's really sunny
country.
Yeah,
sun is the best vitamin, right?
Yeah.
great, thank you. About your career, I would like to talk a bit more in about the lessons you've learned or personal stories that showcase your strong qualities, maybe some soft and hard skills. I'm sure our listeners would love to hear what skill set is needed for a great Salesforce professional, just from your perspective.
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. So for the skill set, I would say ability to learn quickly, time management, responsibility, for sure stress resistance or the ability to work under pressure, and for sure ability to work in a team. And you know, I would say such a skill set is necessary when we are talking about working in the IT field in general. I believe every IT professional can share a story like, there was a difficult customer and the project was with a tight schedule and the client changed their requirements like almost every single day. And it was extremely challenging to work in such an environment, and they were close to burnout, but then somehow they were able to complete the project on time. And for sure, I have such story as well. However, today I want to share another story. It was almost 3 years ago, I'm not sure. And at that point of time, I realized that I want to grow as a Salesforce solution architect. And the challenge was that in EPAM, being a solution architect meant being a T-shaped person. And it wasn't actually fully aligned with Salesforce as a technology. And luckily, I had a great manager who fully supported my idea to become an architect. So I invested a significant amount of time and efforts in actually defining and building that assessment path to become Salesforce Solution Architect. We actually developed and agreed upon specific requirements and processes. You know, there is a nice quote that goes, where there is a will, there is a way. And you know, I truly believe it reflects my personality and it shows my greatest strengths. Like, I am unstoppable when I truly desire something.
Great. Yes. But without support, right? You still need someone who will kind of like believe in you, although it sounds a bit like a Hollywood movie, but...
Yeah, definitely.
You've mentioned work in a team. I know that is as well a tricky question, but we don't have any others. maybe you have some advice for people who, for example, you know, you cannot test your team before you actually start working with them, right? What would you advise someone who that happened is not very happy with the team, let's say characters do not match or something like that, what is the good strategy if you like have to work with people and to do something together?
I would advise it, and it actually was a piece of advice that I received previously. Try to think why people behave in that way. Maybe there is something behind their previous experience and previous things that actually lead them for such an experience. Maybe it's some cross-cultures difference that you as well need to learn and need to know how to work with them. And that's actually things of the, from the top of my head.
Thank you. That's very valuable advice, I think. Moving on to our another block of question, and I wanted to specifically highlight that although I think all specialists are very welcome to this podcast, but for me that was so amazing to finally get a woman on the podcast. We had a few, but it's always great to demonstrate to all ladies around the world that IT and any other career, right, shouldn't be just one gender dominated, and to showcase successful examples. So Luba, can you share your experiences and insights as a woman in the IT industry, and how have you navigated and thrived in this traditionally male dominated field?
Let me think. First of all, I would like to say that I was lucky enough because I work in a company with an amazing code of ethical behavior, which actually creates a comfortable working environment. So I do not feel any pressure just because I am a woman. Second, just imagine, I realized that I wanted to work in IT when I was in a high school. So I went to university to pursue on IT degree and started to work in this field was kind of the only one logical way for me. So I did not consider any other options or ways. So I have my own recipe for that. I try to not listen when people say that I cannot do something. Instead, I do what I can do and even more. And by showing good result, you will build trust with your clients, colleagues, or manager, and they will start to trust you, to respect you, and take you seriously.
Yeah, like you try to show it with actions and not to prove it by just words.
Yeah.
Amazing strategy, yeah. And it can be applicable not only in career, but in life. Okay, moving on, then why, I think you've already touched upon this topic, but what advice then would you give to an aspirational girl, woman, anyone who is aspiring to pursue a career in IT and overcome potential challenges?
This is a good one. I would answer that way. Don't be afraid of challenges. Improve your emotional intelligence. Learn technical stuff, and not only in your technology, but even outside of your primary field. Use criticism for improvement, and for sure take additional responsibilities and additional tasks. So, as I mentioned, I've been working with different technologies through my career. And at some point of time, I switched from Salesforce to SAP Hybris, and I spent a year and a half working in with Hybris. And when I returned to Salesforce, and that was about 5 years ago, I needed to learn the platform almost from the scratch, because so many new things has been introduced. I vividly recall my first assignment to the project. I barely passed the interview. Nevertheless, they took me as a developer and I worked hard to learn all the new features that was introduced during my absence. I put in long hours, I worked overnight to complete tasks or learn something new. And you know what? In a few months, I became the top performer on the project. And in a few more months, I became the technical lead. Then we moved project from the red state to success. And we just discussed, currently I am a Salesforce solution architect. I am a manager and head of the practice, just because I followed all these recommendations.
Very inspiring, and it makes me like right now to just go and start working more. I have this urge because I'm this person who sometimes like to be lazy. I don't know, especially in the fall.
Yeah. But here, a tricky thing, you need to balance between working too much and have work-life balance.
That's actually my next question, dear audience. We didn't plan this, but that's such a smooth transition. Luba, thank you so much for filling the talk and conversation. How do you maintain this healthy work-life balance? I know that healthy is different for each and everyone, right? But like for you, how do you balance personal and working life? And again, any strategies that have worked particularly well for you?
Let me answer this way. Working 24/7, checking your emails, chats when you're out of working hours, when you're on vacation. So all the things I did previously, and you know, the truth is that they can definitely lead you to burnout. So right now, the strategy for me is the following. First of all, I need to walk for at least an hour every single day. I can walk alone just with my music at headphones, or I can go with someone and be definitely need to discuss something outside of work. This is the rule. Then having a good hobby that takes my attention outside of work, it's something that is really helps. And probably the best in my list for recharging is traveling. And for sure without laptop. So after just a weekend in another place, I feel really refreshed. Sometimes I even do not remember my password. So
that's a great vacation.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And what hobby do you recommend to forget about the work to go deep in it?
Last love is social dances. So it's Latin dances. So we started to go to bachata classes, and it's so amazing. Yeah,
that's another level of opening yourself, right? Feeling the energy. Yeah. Amazing. Awesome. So dear listeners, if you just want to digress from the routine, Latin dances is something everyone should try. Great. And then you've mentioned that one of part of a recipe for success is not success, let's say, part of the recipe for good well-being is now living in Georgia. Could you name top 5 favorite things about this location or any tips for some of people who would like to, after this episode, buy tickets and go straight to Georgia?
Such a nice question. Thank you for asking. So my personal favorites in Georgia are mountains. They're so breathtaking. And you know, all of them are different. For example, Kazbek, it's a mountain with kind of its own personality. You know, local people say it has actually tricky personality because not every tourist can see it. It's often hidden by a sky or fog. So I personally tried twice with no success. However, at the same time, it's visible even from Tbilisi when it's a good weather. Then I would mention Sonaty region. So it's my personal love. It make my heart beat faster, really. The vibe is like in the Sweden Alps. And then I must mention Tushetia, the hardest to reach part of Georgia. However, it has a really memorable landscape. And then, as we discussed already, the sun. Because, you know, after living the whole life in Belarus, Georgia is really different. This place full of sunny days. And for sure, when you're living in such a sunny country, it gives you additional energy for your achievements. So it's my personal list. However, I can assume that Georgian people, local people, will answer you differently to this question. Most likely, they will mention Georgian wine and cuisine. And you need to know they are famous around the globe. So you must try it.
As someone who visited Georgia, I can confirm that cuisine is absolutely amazing. And they also have great sea. I mean, if they have both mountains and sea, so you do not have to choose. And local people very friendly, and they have this special soul that makes you feel like home.
Yeah, they even call tourists not like tourists, they call foreign people who came to their country guests.
Well, I had a question that if you did not choose IT, what would you choose? But you already mentioned that it was your dream from the beginning, right? Pursue career. Why did you decide then? What led you to that? Did you always have this passion for mathematics or for some science? Why IT?
Sometimes I'm joking that I had kind of man's type of mind, because yeah, I mostly have a logical and math type of mindset. But on the other hand, I'm an architect, and I do believe I'm a kind of creative person. So I do believe in IT we still have some space for creativity. And the decision to go to IT was from my childhood, and I had a computer, and it was so interesting to understand how it's work, why it's work this way.
So that's always been in your mind, because for example, my dad, he has always worked with computers, but all I was interested in were dolls. That's why right now I'm not a software engineer. Yeah, that's fascinating. And I still wanted to move back and ask you, since you mentioned traveling, maybe what would come first to your mind when I ask about the most vivid, the most exotic memory about any location that maybe like surprised you or even shocked the most?
Probably, I would say when we were in Vietnam, and we were visiting caves that are actually not yet open for tourists, so only it's only possible to go outside inside with a specific group of experts who will lead you through the way. It was probably the most memorable for the moment. And maybe my last visit of Kazbek, when it's finally appeared and I was able to see it, like, finally.
Maybe you proved to the Georgian gods, like, yes, I'm worth it. And
yeah. Maybe.
Great, thank you. I love traveling myself, and it's very inspiring to hear other people experiencing different moments. Our final question, we are always fascinated by our guests' tastes in literature, films, and music. Could you please name your favorite book, your favorite movie, and your favorite song or band?
I always feel stuck when I hear such a question, like everything slips my mind. So, as for the book, I would say I prefer sci-fi and fantasy books, actually. So when I was a child, I read the whole series of Lord of the Rings and Hobbit, and it was so interesting to me, so I was not able even to stop. But at the same time, I loved Adventures of Pilot Pierce. It's completely different books, but I love them. And I need to say I have a kind of collection of Stephen King's books, and I like how he's playing with kind of cross-reference links between his books. Just imagine you're reading one story, but then the place or character from another book is appear. It kind of adds special feeling to the reading. And actually, usually when someone asks me about my favorite book, I think about this guy book. It's named Misery. And it's not because it's an amazing book with an incredible story, rather because this book left the biggest impression on me. That's about books. And for the movies, I cannot say that I have a favorite one. Again, I love Lord of the Rings, and on the other hand, I have huge amount of merch related to Star Wars. Lots of people think that I'm a fan of this series. Really, I don't know why, but somehow that happened. And yeah, I would say I do not have a favorite movie. And actually the same about favorite band. I mostly listen to the rock music. I have such bands like Linkin Park, Papa Roach, Disturbed in my playlist, and I can't say that I have favorite song or favorite band. It rather depends on my mood.
Thank you for sharing, and in general, thank you so much for joining us today. It's really been a very nice and insightful conversation, and we always would love to welcome you back. So if we get this response from our listeners, I think we can make part two, because it's really a big joy to have you, Lima.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time and profound question. And yeah, I hope to see you again, and hope to have part number two.
Thank you, dear listeners. If you listen to this very moment, it's time to rate our podcast if you haven't yet, and share it on any social media. It would really help us to grow. If you would like to become our next speaker, contact us under this recording in, again, any social media. And till very, very soon. Bye-bye.